MakingAScene.org presents AI video and content generation for the indie artist. Welcome back, everyone. Today, well, we're really diving into something that's completely changing the game for music video production.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, if you're an indie artist, you know for decades, video felt totally out of reach, right? Reserved for major labels.
Oh, completely. The costs were just staggering.
Exactly. You needed cameras, big crews, fancy editing suites, motion graphics people.
Mm.
It was this huge financial wall.
Mm-hmm. A wall most musicians just couldn't climb over. Even if their music was incredible, they just couldn't compete visually.
But that's where things get interesting around, what, 2025?
Right.
With all this AI stuff accelerating.
Right. That whole landscape just shifted. Suddenly you didn't need that massive studio setup anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more about having a laptop, a really clear artistic vision, and knowing how to talk to these tools, basically, how to use creative prompts.
Absolutely. So this deep dive, it's kind of our way to get you up to speed on this whole revolution. We're going to unpack the tools everyone's talking about, Sora, Kyber, Runway ML, and look at the strategies indie artists are using right now for visualizers, lyric videos, TikToks, all that stuff.
And the key thing to remember, I think, is that creativity is still absolutely central. It's the engine driving engagement. Automation's doing the heavy lifting, maybe, but not the creative thinking.
So you're not outsourcing the idea, just the labor.
Precisely. The skill set changes. It's less about operating a camera, more about defining the mood, the motion, and maybe most importantly, understanding this like invisible rhythm of how people watch stuff now.
Okay, let's talk about that rhythm, because that feels like the biggest hurdle, right? How do you possibly catch someone's eye when they're just endlessly scrolling?
Yeah, you have fractions of a second.
Literally milliseconds.
And that pressure, it dictates the pace of everything. If you really look closely at modern video, it could be a Hollywood trailer, it could be a quick reel, you often find this underlying beat, the 3 to 5 second cut. It's like this hidden pulse in modern content.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sweet spot where your brain gets a little visual reward, a new angle, a change in light, something different, often enough that it doesn't tune out.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of us assume that crazy fast pacing is just, you know, a TikTok thing.
Not really, no. Its roots are actually in decades of film editing theory. Studies show that constant visual change keeps people hooked. Platforms like TikTok and Reels, they didn't invent it. They just cranked it up and sort of injected it into the mainstream until it became the default expectation.
If your visuals aren't constantly shifting, the thumb keeps moving.
Exactly. Your thumb is already moving on.
So how do these AI tools fit into that need for speed?
Well, almost perfectly, actually. Right now, these AI generators, they're really good at making short clips. Like 5 to 10 seconds is often the sweet spot for quality and coherence.
Okay.
So instead of seeing that short duration as a bug, as a limitation you have to work around,
you embrace it.
You embrace it. Yeah, you see it as fitting the medium. Savvy artists realize they don't need one long, continuous shot. What they need are maybe 20 short, really punchy, emotionally charged little moments, vignettes, that they can stitch together.
Ah, so the focus shifts completely. It's about building a narrative from these powerful fragments.
Exactly. Fragments that fit perfectly into how people consume video now.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So if fragmentation is the approach, we need the right tools. We keep hearing these four names pop up. Sora, Kyber, Runway ML, and Flow. They all make video, but they're not the same, are they? How do they differ?
Good question. Think of them less like competitors and more like specialized tools in your digital toolbox, mm-hmm. or maybe collaborators in a virtual studio.
Okay.
So first of all, you've got Sora from OpenAI. That's the one getting buzz for its incredible photorealism.
Yay, the really cinematic stuff.
Yeah, it looks like it could be from a big budget film. You can give it a really specific kind of wild prompt, like a photorealistic shot of a cat DJing at a neon lit rave. And it generates this short, surprisingly believable clip. It's great for those moody visualizers or high-quality inserts where you want movement synced to specific sounds.
And it delivers those short, punchy clips we were just talking about. Okay, so if Sora nails realism, why would I then need something like Kyber?
Because Kyber focuses on something different. Style and audio-visual connection. While Sora chases realism, Kyber leans more into the artistic, the abstract.
How does it work?
You feed it your audio track, maybe a reference image for style, and a text prompt. And it creates visuals that are audio reactive.
Meaning they move with the music.
Exactly. The images might pulse or shift color or morph right along with the beat and rhythm. It's really popular in genres like synthwave or lo-fi indie pop places where you want something more dreamlike, less literal.
Got it. Hyper-realism from Sora, stylized rhythm from Kyber. But AI output isn't always perfect, right? It often needs tweaking.
Oh, definitely. And that's where Runway ML comes in. Think of Runway as the bridge between raw AI generation and professional finishing. It combines AI tools with a proper editing toolkit.
So it's like an editor and generator in one.
Kind of, yeah. It gives you serious control, almost like Photoshop, but for video. You use Runway for tasks like masking out weird bits, blending AI footage with real video you shot, applying style transfers, and crucially, color correction and grading.
So if Sora generated a weird glitch or a Kyber clip doesn't quite match the vibe of your other footage.
Runway's your tool to fix it, blend it, polish it. It helps make sure the final output looks cohesive and intentional, not just, spat out by an AI.
Right, that makes sense, the polish layer. And finally, Google's tool, Flow. What's its unique contribution?
Flow tackles probably the biggest headache with longer AI video projects: story consistency.
Meaning keeping things the same across different shots.
Exactly. Early models really struggle with that. You generate a character turning their head, and suddenly their shirt color changes, or the lighting flickers weirdly, or something in the background just morphs.
Yeah, I've seen that. It breaks the illusion fast.
Totally. Flow is specifically designed to maintain that visual logic, keeping a character looking the same, their clothes consistent, the lighting stable across lots and lots of separate clips. If you're trying to tell any kind of actual story, that consistency is just non-negotiable.
Okay, so pulling it all together, Sora for realism, Kyber for style and motion sync, Runway for editing and blending, and Flow for keeping it all consistent over time. It really is like a whole virtual production pipeline.
It absolutely is an entire studio accessible from your laptop.
Which brings us to the next crucial part, strategy. Because having the tools is one thing.
Knowing how to use them effectively, that's the real art.
Right. We need to shift gears now from just the tech to the creative thinking behind it. Because even with all this automation, the core truth holds. Storytelling still matters. Flashy visuals might stop the scroll for a second.
But it's that emotional connection that makes people actually watch and remember and care. That's the anchor. Even if it's just a 30-second TikTok loop, it needs some kind of journey, some progression. The visuals have to echo the feeling of the music.
So how do you ensure that? How do you guide the AI towards the right feeling?
Preparation. Good old-fashioned preparation. The best way to make sure the visuals serve the emotion is planning.
Which means back to basics. Like storyboarding seems almost old school for something so futuristic.
It might seem that way, but it's fundamentally important. It's the invisible map. Smart creators, they sketch out the emotional arc of their song visually first. Not at all. Rough boxes on paper, simple slides in a presentation app. Just define the flow. Okay, verse one feels isolated, maybe cool colors, slow movement. Then the chorus hits, boom. Rapid cuts, warm colors, lots of energy. Bridge gets ethereal, maybe slow motion, abstract light patterns.
So you're translating the music's feeling into visual instructions before you even touch the AI.
Exactly. You need that structure. If your song has a soaring high note, your storyboard tells you what visual needs to peak right at that moment.
And that structure then feeds into what you called the most valuable new skill, prompt engineering.
Yes. Because the prompt isn't just a casual request. It's more like detailed script directions for a digital camera crew, just typing forest at night into an AI.
You'll get generic screensaver stuff.
Pretty much. Wallpaper. A successful prompt is like a microscript. You're trying to guide the AI's digital eye. So instead of city at night.
Give me an example of a good one.
Okay, how about neon lit Tokyo street in the rain, low angle looking up, shallow depth of field, camera slowly pans upward toward glowing red and blue signs, cinematic lighting, maybe a melancholy mood.
Wow, okay. That's telling it not just what to show, but how to film it, the angle, the focus, the movement, the feeling.
Precisely. You're directing. So when you're writing these prompts, there are maybe five key things to nail down.
What are they?
First, subject or scene, what's the main focus? Second, style or medium photorealistic, glitchy, watercolor, anime. Third, motion or camera direction. This is huge. Slow zoom, whip pan, orbiting shot. Fourth, lighting and color golden hour, harsh neon, moody blues. And fifth, the mood or emotion, is it tense, euphoric, nostalgic?
And packing in those details gives you more control.
Way more control, especially adjectives describing motion and light. And don't forget telling the machine what not to do.
Ah, the negative prompt.
Super important for cleaning things up. Adding things like minimal background, no text, more distortion, no blurry faces. It stops the AI from adding random clutter you didn't ask for.
And it's not like you write one perfect prompt and you're done, right?
Oh gosh, no. It's all about iteration. You'll tweak words, change the order, run maybe 50 variations just to find 3 or 4 short clips that really nail the feeling. And sometimes, honestly, the AI misunderstands you in a really interesting way and you get something unexpected but brilliant. Happy accidents.
Okay, so we've planned, we've storyboarded, we've engineered our prompts, generated maybe dozens of these short, beautiful clips. Now the final step, making them flow together, editing is still crucial.
Editing is absolutely still king. And the good news is, amazing software like DaVinci Resolve, which is free, or even CapCut on your phone, gives you pro-level tools. The editor's job here is to build that emotional contour we talked about.
Using the cuts to emphasize the music.
Exactly. You're timing the cuts to amplify a specific lyric or mirror a drum beat or reflect a shift in energy. You're almost like playing the video track alongside the audio track. You feel the music and use the visual changes to highlight those peaks and valleys.
Since the clips are so short, how do you pace it? How long does each visual idea get to breathe?
Just long enough for the viewer to register it, then you move on. Especially in faster sections like a chorus. You might be doing rapid jump cuts, quick flashes. For slower parts, maybe a smoother cross dissolve, or using subtle light effects to blend between two scenes.
What about hiding seams?
Yeah, IndieArts is getting really clever with that, using things like glitch effects, film grain overlays, or particle effects. They act like visual glue or sometimes band-aids, smoothing over slightly rough transitions while keeping the energy up.
We touched on authenticity earlier. How are artists actually blending this very synthetic AI stuff with, you know, themselves, their real world?
That hybrid approach is becoming really popular, and I think it's key for connection. What artists are doing is filming simple real-world footage, maybe just them singing or their hands playing guitar, maybe just walking down their street, often just using their smartphone.
Okay, basic footage. Then what?
Then they use tools like Resolve or Runway to composite. They might layer that real footage of themselves over an AI-generated landscape, or maybe have AI light particles swirling around them.
So the artist is grounded and real, but the world they're in is fantastical generated.
Exactly. That metaphor is really potent. The real artist operating within this dreamscape, born from their music.
Mm-hmm.
But the absolutely critical final step there is color grading.
Making it all look like it belongs together.
Yes. You have to adjust the colors and contrast of your real footage so it matches the look and feel of the AI stuff. If you don't, it just looks jarring. Like two different worlds awkwardly stuck together,
yeah.
Get the color right, and it feels seamless.
We should also probably touch on the imperfections. AI isn't perfect. It still makes weird stuff sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. You'll definitely run into strange distortions, maybe lighting that flickers for no reason, or the classic AI melting effect where objects seem to subtly liquefy as they move.
The uncanny valley stuff.
Right. And dealing with that takes a human touch. You learn to cut away just before the weirdness happens. You use color grading tricks to smooth over lighting inconsistencies. Sometimes you might slightly speed up or slow down a clip time stretching just to make it land perfectly on a beat. It's this constant dance, really, between your intention and the machine's quirks.
And one last point on the practical side. What about letting people know AI was involved? The ethics of it all.
Transparency is really important here, yeah. It builds trust. Actually, many of the big platforms, like SourceLaw's documentation mentions, are building in ways to automatically watermark or add metadata, saying it's AI generated.
So it's becoming standard practice.
It seems to be heading that way. And honestly, it's good practice for artists too. Just adding a simple caption like visuals created using Kyber and Runway. It's honest. It celebrates the tools. And it makes it clear you're using AI creatively, not trying to pass it off as entirely real footage.
So this whole workflow, the planning, the prompting, the generating, the editing, and blending, it really feels like it's blown the doors open for visual creativity. What used to cost a fortune.
Now costs your time and your creative energy. It's a huge democratization.
So maybe a final thought to leave people with.
I think the most interesting thing isn't just the empowerment, but how it sort of collapses roles. When you feed an AI their music, reference images, detailed descriptions, and it spits out this whole visual world, the lines between writer, director, cinematographer, editor, they all blur into one person, the prompter, the creator of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, right, is the AI now leading the music in some way? Or is the music finally free to create its own perfect visual reality, completely unshackled? It's a fascinating shift.
Definitely something to think about. Make sure you check out the other great articles and resources on makingascene.org, the number one resource for the indie artist and the fans that love them.